class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on June 8, 1980 in Calcutta, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Text 41.
Soul receives a different type of body according to his work, and when the engagement is finished, the body is finished. Although the spirit soul is situated in subtle and gross material bodies and different forms of life, he is not bound by them, for he is always understood to be completely different from the manifested body. God is not responsible for the living entities accepting different types of bodies. One has to accept a body according to the laws of nature and one's own karma. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that a person engaged in material activities should be given directions by which he can intelligently apply his activities to the service of the Lord to become free from material bondage of repeated birth and death. Swakarmana tam abhyacha siddhing vindati manava. The Lord is always ready to give benedictions. Indeed, His directions are elaborately given in Bhagavad Gita. If we take advantage of these directions, then in spite of our being conditioned by the laws of material nature, we shall become free to attain our original constitution. Māme vāye prapadyante māyām etāṁ charantite. We should have firm faith that the Lord is supreme and that if we surrender to Him, He will take charge of us and indicate how we can get out of material life and return home back to Godhead. Without such surrender, one is obliged to accept a certain type of body according to his karma. Sometimes as an animal, sometimes a demigod, and so on. Although the body is obtained and lost in due course of time, the spirit soul does not actually mix with the body, but is subjugated to by the particular modes of nature with which he is sinfully associated. Spiritual education changes one's consciousness so that one simply carries out the orders of the Supreme Lord and becomes free from the influence of the modes of material nature. Every conditioned soul receives a different type of body according to his work. And when the engagement is finished, the body is finished. Although the spirit soul is situated in subtle and gross material bodies and different forms of life, he is not bound by them, for he is always understood to be completely different from the manifested body. Just as fire is situated within wood, yet is separate from wood, it is not the same as wood. In the same way, the spirit soul is within the body, yet it is separate. It is not the same as the other ingredients within this material body. So, this spirit soul does not mix with the body, but it is subjugated, it is controlled by the sinful association with the three modes of material nature. the three modes of material nature mix with each other. That makes three in three different combinations. And then again they mix. And you come up with 81 different combinations. Those are considered to be principle. Then there are again so many mixtures in the mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance, which create the unlimited varieties of life within this universe. All mixtures of the basic three ingredients, satya, raja, tamas. But the living entity is individual and independent from this mixing. But due to the association with material nature, the living entity thinks, I am the enjoyer of this material world. And thus is bound by the stringent laws of this material world. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karamana sarvasa ahankara yudatma kotta hamiti manyate. Bewildered by illusion, the conditioned soul is thinking, I am the doer. Kotta hamiti manyate. In actuality, the doer is this material world. This material energy is doing everything. The living entity is simply desiring. So long as the living entity is desiring to be independent of Krishna, Krishna bahirmukha hoye bhogavan chakore, so long as he is turning his face away from Krishna, desiring sense gratification, maya japatiya dhore, maya simply tackling him, tackling that living entity and binding stick very rigidly within her grips. So we are trying in this material world to get out of these grips by making so many plans. But here it very clearly states that everyone is suffering and enjoying according to his karma. Person is working very hard from morning till night with the idea, I will become happy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote a beautiful song in Bengali, Amar Jivan, where he portrayed that he was born, he was in the begging to be born, suffering in the womb, so many miserable conditions, he was born, and then he was immediately worshipped by everyone, and he forgot all about his prayers to Krishna to become a devotee. And he was thinking, everything is meant for me. They're feeding me, they're clothing me, they're taking care of me. I am the center of all attraction. So therefore the world is meant for my pleasure. And this way he passed his days playing as he grew. Finally he was sent to school. In school, he had to compete very hard with his classmates. Finally going through primary school, high school, he went into his degree course and he finished his jaravidya, his cultivation of materialistic knowledge. After getting his degree, then he went on the market to compete to get his service. Then he got married. He had so many children. And he goes on singing that how he becomes absorbed in various kinds of activities. Finally, he prays that now I am becoming old. Nothing is very pleasant anymore. And I'm thinking that how I have led my whole life and I have simply forgotten your lotus feet. Oh, my dear darling of Yashoda and Nandan. How I have led my whole life simply absorbed in these activities and forgetting all along your lotus feet. Now I'm simply thinking how I can be engaged in your service. I simply surrender unto you. So here Srila Prabhupada has said in this purport that we should have firm faith that the Lord is supreme and that if we surrender to Him, He will take charge of us and indicate how we can get out of material life and return home back to Godhead. Without such surrender, one is obliged to accept a certain type of body according to his karma, sometimes as an animal, sometimes a demigod, and so on. That unless one surrenders to Krishna, that means he is free from his karma. Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityaja mama kam saranam vaja hankam sarva papebhyo mukhishyami masucha. By surrendering to me, Krishna said, I deliver you from all your karma. So unless someone is surrendering to Krishna, that means he is not delivered from his karma. Work done for Vishnu is purifying, and work done not for Vishnu is binding. That is the real secret of karma. So one who is working against Vishnu's interests, he is subject to accept all the fruits of his activities, all the karma phala. What is that fruit? That in the next life, after leaving this body, he must again take birth in this material world, either as a human, or as an animal, or as a demigod. Swarga utai, narakai duvai. Dhanda rajadanda jana jana norite chuvai. Sometimes one is raised to swarga, heavenly planet. Sometimes he's cast down to hell. Just like a criminal in the dunking stool is sometimes put within the water and sometimes lifted out. This is the position we're in. We're dumped into the water and we're just about to, we feel we're going to drown. We don't like it all anymore, this material world. And then Maya gives one little bit of help, little bit of material bhoga, and we take one grasp of air. And we think, now I'm enjoying. Then again dunk into that water, again suffer. And then we get one grasp or one breath of air. And again we think, now I'm enjoying. Again we are cast into this miserable condition. This is what is happening. So this law of karma is very, very complex. The law of karma is working in multiple stages. Even if someone thinks that I have led a good life, I have not tried to cheat anyone, I have not tried to hurt anyone, I am leading a good life, therefore I have nothing to fear. Unfortunately, this is not the position. You may have known the story of Mahabharata, that Vidura is actually Jamaraj. The same Jamaraj that is speaking here is Vidura. in the Mahabharata. Now, how is it Vidura is considered to be the son of a maidservant? Now, how is it that Jamaraj, the most exalted demigod, is forced to take birth as the son of a maidservant? Subhag, do you know? What are you doing? No, you keep it open. The history is that millions of years before, the one great sage was sitting in his ashram, and some dacoits were fleeing, some criminals were fleeing from the king's soldiers. And two of them hid within his ashram, unknowing to the sadhu. So when they searched in the ashram, they said, "Do you have any criminals here?" He says, "No." They searched, they found two men. They said, "Oh, you are concealing fugitives from the law." Then they took the sadhu, and he was sentenced, "You must die." So he was sentenced to die by spear. They are going to spear him. Or arrow, spear, some projectile. So they were ready to aim. And they're going to just have him executed by one means or another. And at the last moment, when he was about to be pierced by the projectiles, the king's messenger came and said, "Stop. Don't kill him. The king has ordered his release." So the sage, he was very disturbed. Why he was put in such a predicament? Why he was put in such a difficult position? So he approached Jamaraj, who is a ruler of all the karma, that why I have been put in such a difficult position? What was my aparad? What was my offense? So Jamaraj explained, when you were a boy, 4 or 5 years old, then you were taking a grass and you were poking an insect. And by poking the insect, you were creating tremendous pain for that insect by poking and jabbing. Therefore, your punishment was to nearly be killed by being pierced. Just as you were piercing when you were a child, that insect, innocent insect. So they said, "I didn't know anything, I was just a child, and for that I'm suffering, I curse you to take birth as a Sudra." "This is not fair. I didn't know better at that time." Jamaraj says, "You know better or not, you were craving pain for a living, and the law of karma is strict. You cursed me, that's another thing. But I have to carry out this law of karma strictly. No one is free." So, but as a result, Jamaraj accepted that curse, and he became the son of the maidservant. He became the uncle of Krishna. And the illustration is that we may think that, "Oh, I've not committed any sinful activities, or I haven't done anything so bad." But how many things we've done in this life alone, you see. And what is the result? Nobody can properly give the weight. In addition to that, karma is coming in 7 levels. Some karma is in the stage of seed stage. Some is unmanifest, some seed. Some is about to sprout. Some is just sprouting. Some is already manifested, growing stage. Some is already giving fruit, and some is finished. In this way, there are seven layers of karma reactions. Which birth, which activity will fructify at what time? There is no guarantee. One may have killed a person 10 births ago. That sinful reaction is just now coming fructified. Suddenly a person gets crushed under the wheels of a double-decker state transport bus. He was not planning. He had gone to school and college to get his degree, to get his job, but just walking across the street, he got crushed by the double-decker bus. Recently in the newspaper, maybe a year or 6 months ago, there was a terrible accident. About 7 or 8 youths were hanging outside of the bus, not an unusual sight in Calcutta. And the two buses brushed right against each other, and 8 people were squished on the side of the bus, just like people would squish ants under their feet. This well may have been the result for squishing ants under the feet while walking on the path. No one can say. But critically, people will say, oh, God is so cruel. But Krishna, he doesn't take personal care. For those who are not his devotee, they say, oh, God is dead. God does not care. So for them, God is not caring. He has made this material world and he has made the laws by which it runs. And everyone is subjected to those strict laws. If someone is squished between two buses, this was not an accident. This meant that this was their karma. If someone becomes wealthy, that is not an accident. And if some wealthy man gets robbed, that is also not an accident. One suffers and enjoys according to his previous activities. How we act now will determine what will happen to us in the future. How successful we can be. If a person works very hard, he can get the full effect of his karma. But even a person doesn't work, even what good karma he should get, he won't get. You see, their full effect. Everyone has to work, Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita. Everyone has to perform the duty. If one does not perform his duty, then in the future he will reap that result. He may enjoy for the time being the results of his previous activity, but in the future his non-work. No one can not work. It means he can be less active. But eating is going on. If one is not eating prasad, he's eating sin. Anna kalvisha. Sinful food. And if one eats prasad, it is jagashisht. It is the remnants of the sacrifice. So Krishna says, all right, if you want to be free from this karma, I will help you. In fact, he said, you should want to be free from this material karma. If you don't want to, you're most unfortunate and foolish. Antavattu phalante shang tadbhavat alpamedisham. Krishna clearly said, someone who thinks, you see, who is desiring to get this temporary material fruits, he's less intelligent, he's a fool. So Krishna says that if you worship me, you come to me. If you surrender to me, I will deliver you from all this miserable nature. But if you're so proud, no, Krishna, I will not serve you. I don't want help from you, Krishna. Then the responsibility lies on no one but Krishna. Even if a person, he doesn't know about Krishna, he ignoring Krishna, that is also his fault. Why he's not trying to understand where this universe is coming. I have mother, I have father, they have mother, they have father, they had mother, they had father. They have had mother, they had father, and this way, on infinitum, we see that everyone is having a source. So the natural inquiry a human can make is, what is the source of this universe? So if someone is not inquiring, if he's ignoring Krishna, then the result is that he's responsible. The result is he's responsible for his activity. You see. Just like the state has so many laws, if we follow the laws of the state, then we are protected by the law. But if we disobey the laws of the state, then we are forced to suffer. But the president, you see, he is above the law of the state in so many dealings. He is considered to be immune. Of course, in democracy, they don't give the president so much power. But in monarchy, basically the king can do no wrong. The king is not to be challenged. But he is the owner on behalf of God. He is the representative of God. So he is not challenged. You see. So Krishna, he is the owner of everything. The devotee who is simply carrying out Krishna's order, he is protected by Krishna. He is not part of this material world. Mam cha jo vyabhichari na bhakti jogena sevati sagunan samatittaitan bhamavaya kalpute. He is above this material world, above the action of these three modes of material nature. So devotee is one who understands who is Krishna. He is my eternal master. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. And he surrenders himself to that Krishna, that supreme being, carrying out his desire. That is the position of a devotee. And someone who is not a devotee has to take birth. Birth is miserable. We are born, when we are a baby, we are suffering. Sometimes the mother is poking us with a pin and we are crying. We have no words to express. Please, take the pin out. We're just going, and we're being poked. And they're thinking, oh, maybe he has eaten something wrong. Maybe he is suffering headache. No, please pull the pin out. But he has no word to express, simply crying. So this is our position. We are helpless, you see, in this material nature. We are helpless. Although we feel ourselves very strong and powerful, due to the illusion of this material world, we can be crushed like a bug at any moment. We are very insignificant beings. But by the arrangement of this material world, we are given the maximum facility to enjoy our desires in material life, or by Krishna's arrangement, we can become free from this illusion. And we can go back to home, back to Godhead. So this Krishna conscious movement is meant for delivering all the fallen conditioned souls, to awaken them. Jeev jago, jeev jago, Gaura Chandra bole, koko nidra jao maya, pisa chira kole. Wake up, sleeping souls. How long will you stay sleeping on the lap of that witch Maya? Lord Chaitanya says, wake up, wake up. Ami bina bandhu ke ache tomar. Who else is a friend to help you in your misery? He closed the door. Who else is a friend? When we're in the hospital, when we're suffering, someone is there to put the cold water on the head. Someone is there to give the injection. Someone is there to give the pill. Who is there to stop the pain? So they give a painkiller. Pain is still there. We have simply become numb. No one can save us. You see, the only one person who can save us from this birth, death, old age and disease is Krishna. So Krishna sends his representatives in the form of spiritual master, acharya, guru, in the form of devotee, in the form of shaktavish, avatar, in so many different forms. He personally comes himself simply to broadcast the message, how to get free from this miserable life. Only when the people become God conscious can there be a progressive society on this world. A society which has no Krishna consciousness, which has no God consciousness, is a headless society. Progress means one is progressing back to home, back to Godhead. And the so-called material progress means one is simply increasing the pace at which he is being conditioned, until finally one is so degraded that everything is destroyed. Progress in the modern age means increasing the pace of our conditioning. How to become illusioned at a more rapid intense pace, until finally people completely lose sight, thinking that they're the center, their happiness is all that counts. They begin to look upon all their friends, all their relatives, everything simply as means for them to get more and more material sense gratification. Such a person, so filled with greed, becomes envious of all his competitors, and he becomes filled with hate. And thus the world is thrown into a fire of conflict, of ignorance, and of misery. And all the so-called propaganda based upon material illusion is simply stopgap measures which simply create another smokescreen to the real solution. People have to be redirected. They have to see the positive alternative that Krishna has provided. When they finally accept that, unless we obey the laws of God, unless we follow the will of Krishna, we cannot be happy. And we put ourselves in Krishna's hand, that now I'm simply going to follow your instruction. Until that point, there's no shelter. Thus one is forced into unwelcome situations again and again. So as soon as one performs pure devotional service, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Payojita Jaya Dhyasu Vairagam Gyanam Yatatahayutuka, immediately he is given illumination. He is given knowledge. He is given vairagya. He is given renunciation. Sabaikum sang paro dhamo yato bhakti hokkha. Haitu kya pratiyatha yayatma supersedati. Causelessly becomes filled with self-satisfaction, with spiritual bliss. When one gets the knowledge by which illusion is destroyed, then just as when one turns the light on, in the dark room, everything becomes illuminated. That is this Krishna conscious movement. Turn on the light of Krishna. And become illuminated. Thank you very much.
Due to our karma, we're given a particular destiny. So, if it's my karma or my destiny to surrender to Krishna, then I'll surrender to Krishna. And if it's not my karma or not my destiny, then I'll surrender to Krishna.
Surrender to Krishna is not a function of karma. If it were a function of karma, then why Krishna would offer to Arjuna the choice? Either you fight or you don't fight. But I say fight. That means that there's a choice. Living entity has minute independence. If there were just simply everything done by destiny, then there's no question of pap and punya. There's no question of sin and pious activity. Where's the question of sin? Why there'll be suffering if everything is done by destiny? How we are able to succeed or fail, how we are able to suffer or enjoy in our activities, that is regulated by our previous activities. You see, people are competing. Why one is able to succeed? That ability to succeed, so-called success, that means increases enjoyment, that is due to how much he has performed pious activities in the past. If someone is born a king, born in a wealthy family, see Suta Janma Aishwarya, see Suta Janma and Aishwarya. Beauty, learning, good birth, and wealth. These things are the products of pious activities. And lack of these things is the product of sinful activities. So even in material life, human being has got responsibility to choose what to do, what not to do. According to what he does, that creates, you see, new situations. But basically, because this material world is so powerful that due to association, we're conditioned to choose in a certain way. But somehow or another, by association with a sadhu, by association with a devotee, or by Krishna's mercy, if we get the opportunity to choose, to serve Krishna or not to serve Krishna. You see, that choice has to be made. It is not a matter of destiny. That the choice will be given to us, that may be destiny. But we have to, what choice we will make, that is up to our own individual. Some people are not at all destined to meet with such a good fortune. But particularly because a devotee goes out of his way to give him good fortune. Even where a person has no good fortune, he benefits. Somehow or another, whether we are fortunate or whether we are unfortunate, if we get the shelter of Krishna, that is our real fortune. In this material world, one does not have to try for happiness. Or just like we don't have to try for misery. It is coming automatically. But the Shastra is saying, if you want to get spiritual emancipation, if you want to get Krishna consciousness, you must try for it. Atata brahma jigyasa. One must inquire into the truth. Because that does not come by destiny. That has to come only by individual effort. It is like we are wrapped up in this big wheel of karma. We have to try to get out of it. The only attempt is try to get to Krishna. You see. Otherwise, we are in the wheel. Krishna is outside of the wheel. Therefore, the results of destiny are within. You see this karma chakra. Unless one gets the mercy of Krishna, he cannot get out of it. If a person is given that opportunity, does not take the choice, does not take this opportunity, it is simply understood he is most bewildered. He has lost his intelligence. And no one knows what is their destiny. If a person is destined to be given the choice to go to Krishna, and he gets that choice, and he refuses, and gives the excuse, no, when Krishna drags me by my ear, I'll come. If I am forced to, then I'll do. That means he does not want Krishna. He was given the choice, he's rejected. Therefore, he is forced to suffer. It is not that Krishna is going to drag one, you see. There has to be a little desire. One has a choice to accept or reject. If we accept Krishna, we get his shelter. If we reject Krishna, we get the shelter of his illusory energy, Mahamaya, and we're wrapped up in the destiny of that unlimited wheel of karma. So we can choose our master. We can have Krishna, who is eternal youthful beauty, who is the compassionate, kind Lord, to personally take charge of our life, or we can have his agent Maya, the prison keeper, take care of us. We can choose our master. Any other question?
Yes.
Almost completely, you can say all people will accept and they will stand up themselves because of the feet of Krishna. And automatically they will go to Guru Vrindavan. Then they are going to have the scope to the family generation and what will be the happening?
You see, this is a theoretical question. Just like you can ask that if there were no more criminals in this world, what would happen to the prison houses, the jailers, and the jail keepers? So we should propagate crime to give all these people more jobs. You see, the same question was said, Vasudev Datta, one great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He prayed, I want to deliver all the fallen souls. Let them all go back to Krishna, and I take all their karma. I will personally take all of their karma and I will suffer here forever until all the karma is worked out. Let them go back to Krishna. I alone will suffer. And Lord Chaitanya, he saw the great compassion of his devotee, was crying, embraced him and said that you don't have to worry, they're already delivered by your desire. But as soon as one batch is delivered, there is unlimited jivatmas that are still now in a dormant stage in the Brahma Jyoti in different position. And as soon as one batch of jivas delivered from the universe, again new jivatmas come down. So you don't have to worry. There is always a fresh supply. Any other question?
So, understood that when one takes Krishna consciousness, it's no more under the influence of karma. Although in the beginning, the fan may still turn out because of karma. But how does one understand what was destined to him due to his karma? Does he receive that or not receive it? He's not under the influence, it's under Krishna's direction. But if one's destined to be a leader, or one's destined to be poor, or one's destined to be rich, how does that work within Krishna consciousness? Or does it have any effect?
The accumulated karma reactions which are there have to be completely nullified before one can go back to Godhead. So long as one has sinful reactions, he has to suffer. So long as he has pious activity, he has to enjoy. Suffering and enjoying materially are both causes for staying in this material world. So when one surrenders to Krishna, if one can completely surrender thought, word, and deed, everything to Krishna, then of course Krishna can immediately take up all the reactions. But generally one surrenders to Krishna, but the momentum, the desires, have yet to be purified. So Krishna takes charge of that living entity, and as he's performing his devotional service, as he's chanting, the accumulated sins, sinful reactions from the unlimited birth are being destroyed. It is said that while one is chanting, clapping hands, if he is smiling at the deity, that as he's clapping his hands, just as in the rice paddy field, sometimes the sparrows are coming down and eating their rice, then we have to clap our hands to scare them away. And you see thousands of birds, they fly off. Just like that, as you're clapping and chanting, dancing and laughing or smiling in kirtan, as you're clapping, like this, thousands and thousands of sinful reactions are flying away. So in this way, so many karma reactions are being, at every moment we're performing devotional service, they're being lifted. But because we may be harboring so many attachments, in spite of formally surrendering to Krishna, he's taken charge of our life at the time of initiation and surrender. But due to so many attachments and so many mayas, reactions are not, the momentum is still there on those reactions. So Krishna allows us to enjoy or suffer tokens. Just like a person, he may be enjoying what appears to be a karma of being very wealthy or very powerful. The Krishna may allow him to maintain that. Because he promises, I preserve whatever you have, and what you lack, I give. In other words, if a person has something good on his side, Krishna doesn't say, I have to smash it down. He maintains it. Because when one is pure, he's all good. Pious activity is because it is intended for material sense gratification. It is not pure goodness. It is materially contaminated goodness. But a devotee is all goodness, pure goodness. So Krishna protects what good qualities are there, and he gives what is lacking. So there may be so many sinful reactions pending. We may have committed a murder, we may have done so many different things, eating meat, taking intoxication, illicit sex, in so many different births. So the reaction for that should come, you see, directly But instead, Krishna gives a token. Prabhupada once cut his finger and blood came. He said that in our previous birth, you see, I mean, chopped a man's head off, and for that now I'm giving one drop of blood. A token is given to remind us that how fallen we were, to remind us how we have to be humble and submissive to Krishna. Because our tendency is to become independent, to become very proud, intoxicated by our material situation. And so then Krishna, he gives, doles out a little bit of our karma to us in a reduced, infinitesimal token manner to just put us in our place, to remind us and purify. We get purified by suffering. This is the actual fact. People say that, no, if people are hungry, they'll never chant God's name. You have to fill everyone's belly, then they'll chant. But we find that whether people's bellies are more full, they don't like to chant so much. You go in the village and with the poor people, they'll all very gladly chant. But if you go into very, you see, wealthy society, what do I need? I've already got my money, I've got everything I need. When I get old, maybe I'll, that time I'll chant God's name. Now I have to go on increasing my wealth. Where there is great financial difficulty, everyone is praying to God. And then when He gives them, all right, you get wealth. They become wealthy. Then they forget. Then they think, oh, economic development is enough. I don't need any more God. And then He takes everything away. Then again, they see they're in a position. You see, that is what happened. After the coming of Kali Yuga, all the India was the richest place in the world. America was discovered simply because Columbus was trying to find India, to get this short route, to get all the wealth, the gold and the silks and the masalas. It was the wealthiest place in the world. But due to Kali Yuga, all the Hindu kings, they gradually became, you see, intoxicated, and Brahminical culture went down. Gradually, by birth caste consciousness became established in a rampant exploitation. As a result of this, then so many foreign conquestors came, and gradually India fell to the foreigners and fell under Mughal rule, then under British rule. Now there's a so-called independence, but you can say that it's under a foreign political system, because the systems which are being used are not the original systems of Vedic culture. They're mental concoctions. So the difficulty is there, that if someone becomes too proud, then he is forced to, you see, have everything taken away by Krishna as a special mercy. Then he can think that, why I am suffering? Oh, I must remember Krishna. Otherwise, when one is in his heyday, he has no time for Krishna. That is the general thing. The demigods, they forget about Krishna often, you see. And when they, not often, but sometimes. And when they forget, then the asuras come and defeat them. Krishna puts, then they go to Vishnu and pray, please help us. So if Krishna did not have asuras to fight with the demigods, they would forget in their enjoyment. So in this material world, there is always this conflict. And it has a sublime purpose to bring the people back to Krishna. But in a spiritual sky where everyone is surrendered to Krishna, there's no conflict. Vaikuntha. So the more we depend on Krishna, the more He takes charge of our life. And the more we try to make our own alternative arrangements. You see, beyond maintaining, we have two things. We have to maintain our body, we have to be Krishna conscious. So beyond maintaining our body, if we try to increase unnecessarily our material entanglement, then you see, to that extent, Krishna, He will not give His mercy. Or He'll give His mercy by then giving one a good blast of misery to wake up that, what am I doing? This is a terrible position I'm in. Krishna, help me! Krishna, help me. Someone may know that what reaction will come, what severity the reaction will take. That is, that regulator is held by Krishna. The devotee gets a token, finished. Non-devotee, full blast. And the devotee is not accumulating new karma. So as the karma is going off, as the reaction is being expended, it's finished. And gradually the load is getting lighter and lighter, and one is getting closer and closer to Krishna. More attracted to Krishna, more spontaneously devoted to Krishna. While the non-devotee, every karmic reaction creates more reactions, he becomes more and more weighted down with unlimited accumulation until finally falls down, down, and goes back into the lowest species of life. Any other question? Did I answer your question?
In this society we can have income from unsummoned passions also. The incentive by the, you can say, Krishna consciousness may be any good in Sarvaja. But even he or she committed so many crimes as well as sinful activities. That is why he or she can earn maximum money. If he or she thought that if I offer some money to Krishna, half of the amount, to offer that to Krishna, then all sinful activities goes out from and I will get in the lotus feet of Krishna. Is it possible also?
You see, whatever one does for Krishna, for that he is never the loser. He always gains. If one gets money by sinful means, you see, then if he offers to Krishna, he can get forgiven for that. But Krishna does not want that a person should go on committing sinful activities. That's why people who are committing these sinful activities, they generally speaking don't give to Krishna. They may give to some demigod. They know that if they give to Krishna, then Krishna say, oh, this living entity wants to get my shelter. Then Krishna puts in such a position, he takes away the opportunity to commit such sinful activities and gives opportunity to more fully devote in Krishna's service. So they avoid Krishna, these, generally speaking, the people doing heavily sinful activity, and they approach some demigod because they think that, well, I'll give and I'll get back some more opportunity to enjoy sinful life without any... In other words, someone who's sinning very heavily, usually unless he gets put in some very difficult position, he won't like to get out. So, but if one somehow or another gives to Krishna, then he's freed from that sin, no doubt. Krishna takes the reaction. But Krishna does not want that one should earn money by unfair means and give to him. So then Krishna will try to give some good instruction to that person. But if one is actually, you see, getting money by any means and giving to Krishna, then he is like a tax collector, you see, because everything is belonging to Krishna. Actually, everyone should be giving to Krishna. Other sinful people, they are not giving to Krishna. So one is actually taking giving to Krishna. Where is the question of sinful activity? The problem is that someone who is engaging in illicit activity and then said, I'm going to give to Krishna, generally due to such a tamasic association, they get contaminated and cannot give to Krishna. Therefore, it is recommended that a Vaishnava should not perform activity which is, against the regulative principles. But in this material world, every work is sinful. Every work has got some bad part to it. If you do business, you must tell lie and cheat. There's no way out of it. That's why if a man is doing business, he must be giving to Krishna. If he doesn't, definitely he'll be defeated by this material energy. Because you have to tell lies to do business. If you tell a person who's buying something, this thing is not very good. You bought it, someone told you it's very good. You bought it, you say, oh, it's not good. If you tell everyone this is not good, but you should buy anyway, no one will buy it. You have to say this is a first class. It may have a rip in it, may have a defect. It's a very good thing. You must say, if you want to make your money back. So you will make no profit. So business means, to some extent, you see, there has to be a little bit of misrepresentation. But you can say at least not complete representation of all the facts. Otherwise, how you can make money? You see, so it's a question of degree. If a person is putting poison in the oil, giving mobile oil, and killing people, then giving the money to Krishna, he may, you see, get some relief. But he may also, you see, have to suffer for the reactions, and then he'll get the results of giving to Krishna. How Krishna will do, you see, unless one fully surrenders, he doesn't get full shelter. And once one fully surrenders, and he can't do that, he can't poison people with mobile oil, because that's against the regulative principles. So until one is fully surrendered, he'll get both the punya and the pap. He won't get the spiritual shelter. So that means he'll have to suffer for his misdeed, and he'll have to, you see, get enjoyment for his good deed.